I've got quite a simple sermon today, and it shouldn't take too long, but you're like, yeah, right, I know your definition of long, but when I say the sermon is kind of simple, it is, and a lot of times things that are simple can be profound, right? I'm not saying this is going to be profound, but I pray that it will be in some way in your life. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord God, I thank you for allowing us to be able to get into your scriptures and talk about your scriptures. And God, I ask, Lord, that you'll illuminate our minds to understand your deep truths that you have in your scripture this morning. In the name of Jesus, amen. So I've been thinking about multiplying, and what does that look like from a biblical perspective? What does that look like from a personal and a corporate perspective? And when did Jesus multiply things, and why did he do it, and what was the point and the purpose and the meaning behind the multiplication of the things in which he multiplied? Well, we can say he multiplied a lot of different things, and I think that sometimes we can't even really understand what he was multiplying or when he did it, because we haven't really investigated or thought about what's actually being multiplied. But in this particular text, and if you have your Bible, you're going to want to turn to Luke. And in Luke, we're going to go into Luke chapter 9, 12 through 17. And in Luke, it says this. When the day began to wear away, the 12 came and said to him, "Send the multitude away, that they may go into the surrounding towns and country and lodge and give provisions, for we are in a deserted place here." But he said to them, "You give them something to eat." And they said, "We have no more than 5 loaves and 2 fish, unless we go and buy food for all these people." I'm going to stop right there. Because right in the first part there, when the day began to wear away, the 12 came and said to him, "Send the multitude away, that they may go into the surrounding towns and country and lodge and get provisions." Right there. Have you ever tried to boss God around? "God, you need to do this. God, you need to do that. God, you need to do this." So the apostles come up to Jesus, and what do they say? They say, "Send the multitude away." Do you know before this, if you read the text before this, it actually says that they went out together. They basically went out to a kind of secluded place so they could talk together as the disciples and Jesus. So Jesus could kind of mentor them a little bit. But you know what? The multitude found out about where they were going and they followed them. And Jesus said, "All right, here they are. They came for a reason. Let's teach them." So he taught, and not only did he teach, though, he miraculous signs and wonders he performed. He healed many that were sick, many that had difficult things going on in their life. He healed them. And it comes to this place where there's a bunch of people, and it's getting dark, and the apostles come to him, and they say, "Send them home. Send them away. Let them go fend for themselves." And Jesus goes, No, that's not how it's going to go. You see, you're going to go and you're going to feed them. He said to them, "You give them something to eat." So you give them something to eat. And they're going, "What are we supposed to do with that?" And they're forgetting what they actually did themselves and what Jesus actually did. How Jesus did these amazing miracles. And they forget how they were used going out 2 by 2. And they were used by God to perform incredible, powerful miracles to heal people and to drive out demons. So if you're one of these individuals and you've been used of God to heal people, to drive out demons, and you also saw Jesus, you saw him and walked with him, and you saw him do all these amazing, incredible things, and you come to this place where you're asking to send people away. People have come to be around Jesus and to learn, and they say, "Send them away." there may have been some motivation behind that, because you remember they went to that place so they could hang out with Jesus, and then all these people come. So maybe, it doesn't say in the text, but maybe it had to do with their own selfish thoughts about how they wanted to be around Jesus and nobody else. They didn't want to share Jesus. It could be because they cared about the people. It could be, there could be a lot of reasons why. But they still tried to order Jesus into doing what they wanted to do, right? There's no getting around that. We have no more than 5 loaves and 2 fish. Have you ever come to a place in your life where you're going, how am I going to do this? How am I going to survive? How am I going to make it? Or how are we going to make it? We don't have enough. We don't, look at our bank account. Look at this, look at that. We don't have enough. There's not enough here. In our country, a lot of people live paycheck to paycheck. A lot of us have struggles and difficulty economically and financially. And a lot of it has to do with the choices that we've made over the years that have brought us to the place that we find ourselves. Some of us have a financial abundance. And maybe it's because we've been so faithful and committed to God that He's blessed us. And some of you that have been blessed in that way, you can say, amen. That's happened to me multiple times, right? You can say that. Did you know there's times in our lives where God is calling us out to give to somebody that we would never thought we would give to? And He's saying, hey, go give this amount of money to that person. I remember there was one time that we were starting a church down in Gainesville, Florida, and there was this guy and his car had stalled out, and we had just had a church at the park down there in Florida, and we had a lot of people come to faith, and all these cool things were happening. And this guy's in the parking lot, and his car wasn't starting, and I had 3 kids, and I had only a certain amount of money in my wallet. And God said, give everything in your wallet to him. And I go, God, I don't even know what's in my wallet. And I'm like, what am I going to do? We're going to go out to eat. What are we? And no, you got to give it all to him. So I reached in my wallet, and I found that I had $70 in my wallet. And I went over to the guy, and I said, hey, God told me to give this to you. And he said, what? And I said, God told me to give this to you. And this tough guy, I mean, he was a big, burly guy. And he was there at the park with his kids. And he goes, thanks, man. And I said, well, thank God, because I don't know if I would have given this to you on my own. And he said, well, thanks, God. And he looked at the sky, and I go, well, God doesn't have to be in the sky. God can be right here. And he said, yeah, right here. Thanks, God. And I said, well, do you know God? And he said, not really, but thanks, God. And he did it again. And it allowed me to get into some basic dialogue about who God is. So God allowed that opportunity to provide this individual with some money. And I didn't know why he needed the money or why God was leading me to give him the money. But maybe that was a seed that was able to be planted, because sometimes when we step out of our comfort zone, because it's not that comfortable walking up to somebody and handing them money that you don't really know. I mean, it makes them go, wow, that's kind of weird. But what it does is it stretches you. And a lot of times when God starts stretching us, that's when we start growing. And I think a lot of times when God is speaking to us, we start rationalizing. That doesn't make any sense. From a logical perspective, that makes no sense to do this or do that. There was a time in college when I was in Kentucky, and Stacy and I literally had nothing except our 2 cars. And then we had some things that we, like stuff we got from secondhand stores and things that we lived in, and some of our clothes. And all of our stuff could fit into both of our cars. And we were going to be moving to Georgia from Kentucky. And God laid on my heart to give our car to a neighbor that didn't have a car. So we ended up giving the car to the neighbor, and we moved to Georgia with 1 car, and we had to give away a lot of our stuff that we had. So we moved down to Georgia, and we had the 1 car, And Stacy was working as a school teacher. So, and I was a pastor down there. And I didn't know how I was going to get my means of transportation. So this guy offers me this beat up, nasty truck. Flatbed truck that was all rotted out. And I'm like, all right, let's do this. It would stall out all the time. And I was driving it for a while. And then God provided us with a vehicle. And the way it all came about was pretty fascinating. A friend from college, their neighbor was selling a car, but they ended up allowing the car to go for a price that was different than what they wanted it to sell for. And we ended up being able to get a really nice car, and it was a blessing that we were able to get that. And we wouldn't have been able to get that car, and we would have still had my college beater box. It wasn't really a beater box. It was actually a nice car. 1984 Delta 88 Royale. Coupe. Coupe. If you don't know what that is, it's a massive vehicle. Very large. I used to call it the sofa on wheels. So sometimes we've got to trust God even though we don't know what lies ahead. Why does God open us up to do certain things? A lot of times it has to do with us growing in faith, but other times it has to do with allowing people to discover him deeply and profoundly in faith. The disciples didn't feel comfortable at this time. They were wrestling with, why would he want us to feed them and how do we feed them? And they were going through in their mind logically, how do we do this? We got to go into the town and we got to go buy food. We don't have enough money. We only have a certain amount of wages that we have that we can pay, and we don't have enough to feed all these people because there are a lot of people. For there were about 5,000 men. Okay, stop right there. There were about 5,000 men. Did you know they used to count the men, not men, women, children? So it is likely, some scholars say, there were between 15 and 20,000 people that were there. No one goes, whoa, that's a lot of people. That's a lot of people. That is a lot of people. Particularly at this time period, to feed all those people. And he said to his disciples, make them sit down in groups of 50. And they did so and made them all sit down. Then he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish and looked up to heaven. He blessed and broke them and gave them to the disciples to set before the multitude. So there were about 5,000 men, maybe about 15 to 20,000 people, because people had a lot of kids in those days. So there's all these people, and make them sit down in groups of 50. It's not clear why he had them sit down in groups of 50, but we find in Mark, when this same miracle happens, that in Mark it talks about they sat in 50s and hundreds, and then we find in Exodus that they were divided, they're 50, hundreds, and it's not talking about this text, but there's different passages in Scripture that when there's division of people, there's 50s, there's hundreds, there's different numbers that are used. But Exodus, it happens in Mark, and it happens here. And the groups of 50, and they did so and made them all sit. So all these people are sitting down in groups of 50, and imagine this. You've got this basket. You're one of the apostles, and you've got the basket, and you go over to Jesus. He takes the bread, because you only had how many loaves of bread? 5 and 2 fish. And you have 5 loaves and 2 fish, and you go over, and Jesus, you see him go, hold it up. He holds it up, and he blesses it. He said, Lord, bless this, multiply this. And he puts it in the basket, and he puts the fish, and I don't know how they sliced the fish up. It doesn't say they took a knife. It doesn't say it. But they were in the baskets, and they multiply. And imagine being one of these 12, and you're walking around, and you give someone a piece of bread or a fish, and they take it, and then the next person, and right before your eyes, you see, whoop, there's another piece. boom, there's another piece. And it's, you see it growing right before your eye. Would that not make you go, this isn't, well, I've never seen anything like this. And you're just like, well, this, okay, you're next. You're next, right? And it just keeps multiplying in the basket. So it just keeps multiplying. And you walk around, and I don't know how long this took. It doesn't say it took an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours. But they walked around, and everybody, look at what this says. And they did so and made them all sit down. Then he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, he blessed and broke them and gave them to the disciples to set before the multitude. So they all ate. Ready? They all ate. Let's read this together. So they all ate and were filled, and 12 baskets of leftover fragments were taken up by them. You're one of the 12. You just fed everybody, and everybody's full. And you walk over, and you have a basket with more. There's an overabundance. You started off with way too little. But there had to be a certain amount of trust and faith in these apostles, right? A lot of times we beat them up and stuff. But there had to be for them to go out and actually go and bring the basket to the different people, right? So they had this faith and trust in God, and they distributed. And when they came to the end, maybe the baskets had more left over to show them that, you know what, when you trust in me, I am going to not only give you enough, I'm going to give you an overflow. I'm going to give you an abundance. I'm going to give you more than you ever thought you could have or wish or fathom. There's 2 points that we get from this text. There's actually multiple ones, but the two I want to pull and abstract from this. The first one is this. It has to be blessed before it can multiply. Did you know the material blessings that we have, those monetary gains, it needs to be blessed before it can multiply. There's a reason why there was this amazing blessing upon, and you may say, well, that was Jesus because he prayed and that's why it was so blessed. Well, we are able to discover his blessing in the midst of our lives as well, right? So when we pray and when we faithfully pray, we can discover God's blessing in our life. The baby agrees. And when baby Grace agrees, then it's true. So there's this abundance that overflows. And I wonder if we've actually discovered this truth. It has to be blessed before it can multiply. When was the last time you ask God to truly bless what you give? Have you ever done that? Or do you just give like, Or is it like, Lord, bless this. Allow it to increase. Lord, allow the way you've blessed me to bless other people abundantly and profoundly. How about on a spiritual level? Have you ever asked God to bless you spiritually and to increase you spiritually and allow you to grow spiritually and to be stretched beyond your comfort zone so you could be a man or woman that is truly after God's heart? If you were to categorize yourself this very morning, would you say that you are a man or a woman after God's heart? A better question would be, would the person that knows you best consider you a man or a woman after God's own heart? I see people looking at each other in slow motion. It has to be blessed before it can be multiplied. And then it has to be given away before it can multiply. Huh. Lord, bless this. And Lord, here, allow me to give it away. I have found over the years that the times in which I followed after God and he said, give this amount of money to this person at this time. I'm like, God, what are you talking about, God? That is like a ridiculous amount of money. You know what's going on in our life. We can't afford that. Trust me. And the question is, how do we discern God's voice from our own mind or from the enemy, right? Well, if things are good and fruitful and we'll be able to impact the life of somebody, it's likely that's from God, right? And then people would say, well, what about my family? I have to take care of my family. I need to make sure my family is secure and safe, and right? Would you agree with that, that that's a good thing? That we are called to care for our family? I think one of the things we do, though, we say, well, we're going to need this, this, and this to take care of our family. And then what happens is we're not faithfully stepping out and trusting God. There are times in our life that God is calling us out to step out in faith and truly trust Him with everything. Sometimes we got to get called out like that in order to truly follow after Him. And sometimes we need to get stretched in a way in which our faith can't do anything but expand. And there's other times that God just blesses us so ridiculously that we don't even know how to engage with that because we're so overwhelmingly blessed. And I'm sure some sitting here may say, I don't even know what that looks like. I don't know what it looks like to really experience God's blessing upon my life. And there may be a reason for that. And there's a lot of people that say, oh, I'm a blessed person. And what they're really saying is, I have everything that I would need in this world. But is that what God wants for us? Is that all God has for us? Is that we have everything we need in this world? That everything we want in this world? He does take care of our needs, right? And He blesses us like that. But it's not just about our needs and our wants and our desires. It's about how can God grow us up in our faith to be people that truly give from our heart, from the overflow of our heart, and truly give, not just from the abundance, but give from whatever it is we have. What if we truly become generous people that don't just say we're generous, but actually live a generous life? Don't hoard everything. There are people that like to hoard things and keep, and keep compiling, and keep compiling. Well, that never multiplies, does it? Does that ever multiply when we hoard? It can't. So multiply. Multiply isn't division. Multiply is increase, increase, increase. It's not addition. It's beyond addition. Because 2 + 2 is only 4. I guess 2 × 2 is 4 too. I was waiting for someone to catch that. I was looking around, I'm like, does anyone get that? But multiplication, if you do 32 times 2, what do you get? 64. If you do 32 times plus 2, what do you get? 34. It's a little different, right? So, see, a lot of us are satisfied with 2 times 2 because it's not that big a stretch. But God's like, hey, back up a second. We're going to do real multiplication here. We're going to go the next level in your life. It's not just 2 times 2 or 2 plus 2 because that's too easy. Are you ready to expand and grow and actually experience multiplication in a way that is different than anything you've ever experienced? Are you going to really trust me and discover what multiplication looks like in your life? Because that was only bread and fish. Imagine what I can do with all areas of your life. Imagine the increase. Imagine the abundance. Imagine the power upon your life. And I'm not talking about the prosperity gospel here. What I'm talking about is trusting God with everything so God can actually take everything and multiply it in a way in which will bring glory and honor and praise to Him. There's a big difference between that and just living a life of mediocrity in the faith. I don't know about you, But I know that I pray that I'll be somebody that really listens and hears God's voice and does what he asked me to do and follows him. And it may not be an audible voice, but it may be the serenity and the peace that God can give us when we move forward in the faith. And I wonder if we've truly experienced that and connected with God in that. Or I wonder if material things have really taken hold of our lives. And just like that simple thing that I shared, I don't know what I want to call it, but last week when I said, you know, if you take a $10 bill, you give God the first dollar. If you have $1,000, you give God the first 100. You say, God, this belongs to you. It is a simple, simple approach, but it's one that I think most of us really, really wrestle with. It's kind of simple in that, God, the first is yours. The first is yours, period. That first 10% is yours, period. Because it was his anyway, right? This is one of the hardest topics to talk about because so many people don't like to talk about this kind of stuff. And there's even some people that say, I can't believe they're talking about money. If you haven't understood, it's not just about money. There was this powerful lesson that Jesus showed his disciples. When you trust me, things multiply. When you follow me, things multiply. When we step out in faith, our faith multiplies. Let's pray. God, allow us to be people that discover a faith that multiplies. Lord, allow us to be people that discover with our finances and with our material blessings that when we trust you and entrust them to you, that you can multiply them. When we follow you in faith, you will multiply things. And God, I ask, Lord, that we don't have a 2x2 kind of faith, but we have a 2x10,000 kind of faith. Lord, allow us to be people that truly trust in you. Lord, allow us not to lean on our own understanding because, Lord, a lot of times that gets us in trouble. But allow us to be people that in all our ways we acknowledge you because, God, you're going to ultimately set our path straight. And, Lord, may we go down that straight and narrow path that leads to life and abundance. God, may your power be upon us and may our faith be such that when people look at our lives, they see a transformed person that is truly following after you, who is the way, the truth, and the life. Lord, empower us to be people that not only walk in this life, but walk by faith and not by sight. Lord, may we truly understand that we cannot see the wind with our own eyes, but God, we can truly see the effect of the wind. And Lord, may our faith be like that. Lord, even though we can't see you, God, may we trust you. And Lord, allow us to be used by you to see the effect of you in people's lives because of the way we live ours and because of the way we love people. In the name of Jesus, amen.